This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2283. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave, between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded February 20th, Armenia, Brazil, Canada, China, Congo DR, Cuba, Finland, Germany, Greece, Indonesia, Japan, Mexico, North America, Poland, Sweden, Turkey, Ukraine, UK, USA, Late Night Eskip, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Mike Cooper forwards a story from BBC Monitoring, February 14th. Armenian government regains full control of international radio network. Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan announced that all shares of the international radio network, which owns Radio CJSC, also known as the Noratus radio station, have been returned to state ownership. It had been stolen, he said, from Armenia in 2010, but shares have now been fully transferred back to the state. In December 2024, the Armenian Ministry of High-Tech Industry took ownership of the company's shares. The IRN purchased the Noratus radio station in 2013, originally state-run since 1965, was privatized in 2010, and later acquired by the network from Europress Group. As of February 2025, the Armenian government now has full control of the radio network and the Noratus station. They don't mention shortwave, but the Noratus station is the only shortwave site in Armenia. It's been relaying a number of other broadcasters, but nothing from Armenia itself. So this might lead to some changes in what is carrying. In the Michigan Area Radio Enthusiast Tip Sheet, Ken Zicke says, Radio Inconfidencia in Brazil seems to be drifting downward. It had been on 15190.1, but now measured on 15189.790. February 8th at 2315. Trenton Military, Canada's flight weather station, seems to be defaulting more and more to no report received over and over from all the locations it's supposed to be providing aviation weather and forecasts. The day frequency 15034 and the night frequency 6754, both USB, whenever I checked, February 17th and 19th. In fact, they could not even get a report from their own base, Trenton. And then the day frequency at least seemed to be missing altogether. Meanwhile, the other station in Canada, Gander, on 10051 USB, was functioning normally, including some of the same locations that Trenton could not get to. Filed under Canada, but who knows for sure, this from Walt Simonov in BC, February 20th at 0409, a very interesting pirate on 6925 upper, an extremely anti-Trump pirate at excellent level, interspersed with music, and criticizing Americans who elected this orange-faced monstrosity. Don Mumman replied at 0420, 6925 loud here in frozen Alberta, best with the beam to the southwest. Anti-Trump spoken from a Canadian perspective, and to a revolution song. I also listened in via one of Don's remotes in Alberta. At 0419, they were talking about the Canadian Flag Day Festival. That was February 15th, the 60th anniversary of the Maple Leaf Flag. So is this really from Canada? As few Americans would even be aware of that. There were further insults to the American president. I make some direct quotes. The gangster in Mar-a-Lago. Our cruel president. And a blithering idiot. But there were also some IDs as Radio Canada International. We can be quite sure this has nothing to do with the CBC now or the Canadian government. Ron Howard was also listening and made this recording before it went off at 0440.
Radio Canada International, making friends for Canada around the world.
Oh, and I heard one more characterization, a direct quote. DT and his puppet master, Vladimir Putin. Mike Cooper forwards a story February 14th from the Global Times in China. You might want to look it up. The headline is, Has BBC Changed Its China Coverage Strategy? That's globaltimes.cn. summarized as follows. BBC's recent positive coverage of China, including a shift in tone and highlighting Chinese technology and achievements, has sparked discussions among Chinese netizens, with some attributing this to the closure of the U.S. Agency for International Development. Dan Robinson keeps in touch with the one-time shortwave missionary station in the DR Congo on 6210 Radio Kahuzi. He got this message on February 16th. It was written before the capture of Bukavu was known. We are waiting for word that they are still okay. This message said, "We are okay. We will sit it out." No word about a potential return to shortwave. Radio Atlanta Cuba continues to sometimes manage to modulate and be on the air on 6,000 kHz in our evenings in English. Chris Campbell in Ohio notes that the mailbag program, which used to be on UT Thursdays, he heard on UT Saturday, February 15th at 0347. That was in mid-program, and they were actually reading a letter from him. He says programming has changed a lot. At 0300 Friday, they were playing music with a message. That used to be on Saturday nights only, but I did hear it on Sundays a while back. Also, February 17th and 18th, UT on 6000, there was interference from some on-off keying on 6001. You might think it's CW, except it's not. Just a carrier being turned on and off, seemingly randomly. It's thought this may be coming from a utility in Israel or maybe Norway. Nothing to do with the jamming Cuba. If Cuba is off, there is also Turkey on the frequency. It's to David Crawford in Florida for a detailed explanation about this OOK, or on-off keying. And it was Sebastian Schluter in Germany who thought it might be from Norway. Mike Berkla forwards to the British DS Club an update on the Arctic Radio Longwave Project. It's from their website, arcticradio.net. They explain that it's unrealistic to expect any station startup before the summer. We have been offered a 1 kilowatt medium wave transmitter, so this will be used for a project announced in a few months. Interest in shortwave has also been expressed, so if we can find a shortwave transmitter, or even a good broadband linear amplifier, shortwave can start very easily. Alexander Myatlikov replies, "It's a very dubious project from the beginning. I can't imagine the locals buying radio receivers specifically with longwave band just to listen to some programming in Sami languages. It's a very narrow audience, already content in their own languages produced by YLE on FM or smartphones. Listening to a low-power longwave station is of interest only to radio hobbyists." The following will be outdated unless you're listening to one of our very first World of Radio transmissions, early UT, February 21st. A reminder that Radio Imrang, that's O-umlaut, M-R-A-N-G, makes an annual broadcast on February 21st via 500 kilowatts in France. It's for North America in the North Frisian dialect, German, and some English. The date coincides with local festivities in the German North Frisian Islands. Last year, and many years before that, it was at 16 to 17 UT on 15215. But we don't have any definite word yet about it happening this year, so check it out if it's in time. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener says he has been unable to reach anyone connected with the project this year. Terry Colgan of Texas Radio Shortwave says listener reports are needed for some special test broadcasts via channel 292 in Germany, in addition to regular monthly programs. They're trying to decide whether to adjust their schedule in April and beyond. Here's what's happening. Saturday, March 1st at 16 UT to Europe on 6070, and then Sunday, March 2nd at 1200 on the same. They're considering replacing 3955 due to severe audio interference from another transmitter at channel 292. If 6070 provides better reception, they'll make the switch. And then on 9670 for North America, another test, Sunday, March 2nd at 23 UT, considering replacing their early morning transmissions UT with late night ones if this provides better reception. And unique QSLs will be available if you report at least 20 minutes to Texas Radio Shortwave at protonmail.com. Zaharis Langas in Greece has been experimenting with AI and has come up with this song and invites listener reaction.
Spinning the dough through the crackle and hiss, a world of voices I can't resist. From distant lands, their stories unfold. A global tapestry in radio's hold. DXing the bridge across the divide, connecting the world side by side. Through static and whispers, friendships ignite. A global community bathed in radio light. Sharing reports with fellow DXers online. A community connected by a passion divine. Comparing notes, exchanging our finds. A brotherhood of listeners with open minds. DXing the bridge across the divide. Connecting the world side by side. Through static and whispers, friendships ignite. A global community bathed in radio light. QSL cards arriving, confirming the catch. A tangible connection, a satisfying latch. Proof of the journey, the signal's long flight. A treasured memento in the fading sunlight. DXing a bridge across the divide. Connecting the world side by side. Through static and whispers, friendships ignite. A global community bathed in radio light.
It's titled Global Listener. You may send your reaction to ZLIANGAS, figure 5, at gmail.com. Since last week's report, Ron Howard says, Voice of Indonesia is active again on 3325, on February 12th in English at 2117, via remote in Western Australia. 3325 was out of sync, about 3 minutes behind the programming of 4755. Thanks to Brian Clark for the timely alert. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener says, RRI is making some cutbacks in their domestic programming on AM and FM, and Ron Howard is right in assuming that cost-cutting measures have also hit the external service. Some staff members had to go. In the German language service, only 2 people remain. The weekend programs in German are repeats of Thursday and Friday. The production of new programs has also suffered. Some columns are gone, and there will be more repeats and more music. Edward Kuselik forwards news from SWLing Post to the Ontario DX Association. Termination of NHK World Japan verification cards. We have decided to stop issuing them. They will be sent for confirmations on broadcasts up to March 20th, 2025. Thanks for your understanding and continued support. You can continue to submit your comments and requests to English Language Services. Edward comments, if you want to get some NHK relays verified, better get them soon, a bummer for sure. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2283, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Ron Howard, wishing us a happy Chinese New Year with a check on a U.S. bank, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Now some TV and FM news from Mexico, thanks to James Thomas of the WTFDA FM database. For USDXers in the southern states, another TDT in Mexico has signed on the air. That's digital television, XHCPCV TDT. It's on RF5, virtual channel 14 in Nayarit, 4.183 kilowatts. Up until recently, Mexico's equivalent to the FCC was not assigning any stations to low VHF channels 2 through 6. But now it's possible to DX that by sporadic E. And 2,000 FM stations on the air in Mexico? Who would have ever predicted that? Officially, as of February 17th, there are 1,947 FM stations listed in the WTFDA FM database. 99% of those are on the air. The remaining 1%, just a margin that a handful are newly licensed stations, but haven't signed on yet. I predict that if the rate of authorizations for new stations continues as it did during the last 2 years, 2,000 stations will be on the air in Mexico before the end of this year. And yet it's still a remote country. Many areas still have only one or two stations on the local radio landscape. Along with his weekly log reports, Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal says, I've been busy renaming places on maps. I've renamed the Gulf of Mexico as Horseshoe Gulf. After all, it resembles a horseshoe, so why not? Oh, it's a beautiful name. Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State says, Mix Radio International, North American Pirate, on 12100 USB. February 19th at 1920, it's a music-focused pirate coming in very well to remotes in Maryland and in northern Utah as well. It's broadcast before in this part of the band. Also a solid signal into Massachusetts at 2005 UT, says Stephen C. Wood on Cape Cod. Besides listening via remotes, I also tuned it in directly at 2120. It was S7 or 8, considerably weaker but sufficient compared to WEWN on 12050. From radio receiver at VK.com via RustyX. Cars will be checked in Poland, and those who have not paid for the radio will be fined. This year, Poland will have to pay a subscription fee for radio receivers, including those installed in cars. Inspectors will take photos of car interiors through the glass. All owners of radio receivers must pay regardless of whether they use it. The device must be registered within 14 days of purchase, and a subscription must be paid through the post office. Persons age 75 and over, people with disabilities, and those receiving social assistance are exempt from payment. In Shortwave Bulletin Sweden, some excerpts from the website of www.hammerlund.info about the company history. The founder of the Hammerlund Manufacturing Company, Oscar Hammerlund, was born in 1861 in Stockholm. As a student, he won admiration of his classmates and high honors for his engineering ability. After some technical jobs in Sweden, he got an offer from the Elgin Watch Company in the U.S. and arrived in this country in 1882. Oscar Hammerlund's interest in the advance of wireless communications was keen enough that in 1910 he decided to organize a company for developing his own ideas. The initial success of the Hammerlund Manufacturing Company was due solely to his painstaking research and struggle during the early days. It was not until 1919, when radio broadcasting was about to become a reality, that Oscar Hammerlund had the opportunity to put the results of his early experiments to practical use. Yes, we're referring to those great radio receivers many of us have or used to have, the HQ-160 or the HQ-180. Surprise, surprise, the voice of Turkey in English is back on shortwave instead of filling the shortwave English segments with TRT World Television Audio. First noted by John Jurasek in Florida at 2312 UT, February 17th, on 5960. And they were back to their old tricks, such as running German IDs after the English program at 2356. However, 24 hours later, on February 18th, I found 5960 missing, as often happened before. Then on February 19th, 5960 was missing at 23, but just like old times, they stayed on the wrong frequency, 9610, for the 23 broadcasts in addition to the 2130. Checking out some of their other scheduled emissions. February 19th at 1728, 9660 had an ID in Spanish, even though English followed at 1730, while Spanish at the same time is on a different frequency, 9495. Something's always awry at Ankara, or erroneous at Emerlair, but it's good to have them back. Alan Rose says the program schedule may have changed slightly compared to what was heard before their hiatus. Unscripted Twists of Fate, previously on Wednesdays, was heard on Tuesday. And there was a new program called The First Quarter of the Millennium. Anyhow, here's the full English language schedule of 55-minute broadcasts at 1330 on 13635. 1730 on 9660, 1930 on 6050, 2130 on 9610, 23 on 5960, and the next UT day at 04 on 6125 for North America and 7285. Walt Salmanis says many of us know of and own the excellent products produced by Rig Expert, but there's bad news from Rob Wagner's MEDXR blogspot. Rig Expert, based in Kiev, produce fabulous antenna analyzers. I own one and love it, for the Hammond broadcast community, and a range of other electronic equipment. But a press release on February 12th has sad news. Rig Expert's administrative office was completely destroyed by a Russian ballistic missile. Fortunately, all employees are safe. Despite this, the Rig Expert team is committed to restoring operations as soon as possible. To continue providing our products, we are working tirelessly to minimize delays and fulfill our commitments, and maintaining our usual customer support operations. Our top priority is the safety of our team and continuity of our operations. While our administrative office is in ruins, our production facilities survived, allowing us to continue serving our customers and partners, said CEO Ashot Andeyev. In the world of Radio IO Group, some discussion about the BBC and U.S. government broadcasting. Tony Pavick in Hope, BC says, every time I hear the BBC World Service refer to itself as the world's radio station, I shake my head in disgust because that branding is so far from the truth. Better would be the world's online streaming podcast satellite station. Precious little can be heard from them, especially in English, on traditional radio. BBC World Service gave up a long time ago with the gangrene setting in when they cut shortwave to the Americas over 20 years ago. The quality of most programmes is amateurish at best. A prime example is BBC OS with James Reynolds. Who in blazes knows what OS stands for? It comes off sounding like he's sitting at a kiddie's desk in a big office with other people working around him. Content relies on pop culture at the expense of hard news. For example, they had people life in Kiev. Did they report on how things were there? No. Stories included an actress who won a lawsuit against a cosmetics company and Barbie dolls with physical disabilities. Uncle Bill Telford replies, BBC has aspirations that US AGM does not pretend to hold, and those have been a mostly positive influence on the Beeb's content were not eviscerated by bean counters. Mere management changes at USAGM will probably disappoint U.S. observers on all sides without a renewed public discussion of why its services exist in the first place and how best to articulate its mission, if any, going forward. About World of Radio scheduling, last week, UT Sunday, February 16th at 0100, something else was on WRMI 9955, although World of Radio is still on their schedule grid. We don't yet know whether this was a temporary or permanent change. And for WTWW, George McCunnick told me, February 19th, unless major transmitter problems occur, your program will air on Friday. That is UT Saturday, February 22nd at 0400 on 5085. The FCC is investigating KCBS 740 San Francisco. Allegedly because it's backed by George Soros, who now has a stake in Odyssey. IRC ADX Monitor refers to a story about this at radioinsight.com on February 9th. FCC begins investigation into Odyssey's KCBS, triggering potential First Amendment battle. It's by Lance Venta. One of my favorite stations, although I can only hear it online, is KSFR in Santa Fe, New Mexico. As of February 15th, they've been announcing that they have a new repeater in Cuesta, New Mexico, also serving Taos. It's KSQR on 91.3. And via KUNM, we are also reminded about this, urge the new Congress to safeguard public media. With over 70 new lawmakers, a March 14th funding deadline, and growing threats to defund public media, now is the time to make your voice heard. Send an urgent message to the new Congress, protect public media funding. Go to this website, protectmypublicmedia, all one word, .org. Tom Roberts, our World of Radio listener in Wyoming, informed us about a new station he's involved with at Pinedale, KAPK, at 102.7 FM. Lots of local programming, including his show, which has been weekdays at 4 to 6 p.m., although he says now he's taking some time off for some pressing scholarly issues. He says the 2-kilowatt signal reaches out almost 100 miles. KAPK, 102.7, The Peak FM, Sublett County's newest radio station. As mentioned last week, I'm still hearing a mystery carrier, not every night, but some nights around 07UT, varying slightly around 810.58 kHz. I hope someone can hear it better and identify it. Direction finding indicates it's either 100 degrees or about 280 degrees from Enid, more likely to the west. In WTFDA's FMDX list, Charles Gauthier in Quebec comments on Night Skip. This was back on January 14th. You can still surprise a soon-to-be DX geezer a bit past midnight. What was wrong with my receiver? Was it overloading? It was eSkip, and not weak eSkip, but four or five stations deep, very active eSkip. We logged about 30 stations between midnight 28 and 2 a.m. Eastern from Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Kentucky, Nebraska, and Tennessee. Needless to say, I did not expect something like this in the heart of winter. Some might remember the summer of 2004, I think, when we were treated to overnight sporadic E for a good part of June and July. I racked up on many TV stations that summer, when locals' low Vs were all signed out by 1 a.m. Yes, sporadic E can surprise us even in February, such as Cuba's Analog Channel 3. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued February 17th. Geomagnetic field likely to reach G1 minor levels on 28 February, 9 March, and 12 to 14 March. Active levels likely on 1 and 15 March. Numerically, ANK indices peaking at 25 and 5 on February 28th, March 9th, 12th, and 13th. 30 and 5 on March 14th. 20 and 4 on March 1st and 15th. The quietest spans of only 5 and 2 are February 20th to 26th and March 2nd to 6th. 10.7 centimeter radial flux predicted to rise from 170 February 22nd to 200 on the 26th, down a bit and then back up to 205 March 4th and 5th, and then down to 195 by March 9th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, Glenn Hauser here inviting you to hear me again next week as I conclude this World of Radio 2283 with a standard disclaimer.